wonderful songs all day long. Amen? Well, let's break them back out and let's sing them then. All right, open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're talking today about comforting one another with these words. And so, just like ugly Christmas sweaters, you got to hear some not so funny Christmas jokes. What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? Frostbite. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't give the other one. A 10-year-old, under the tutelage of her grandmother, was becoming very well-knowledged in the Bible. And so one day, her grandmother was floored because the child asked her which virgin was the mother of Jesus. And puzzled, she asked, "What do you mean?" Well, she said, "Was it the Virgin Mary or was it the King James Virgin?" Okay, anyway, let's, this is my day job. All right, so Christmas is such a wonderful time of year, and as we sing so many wonderful songs, and it just makes you feel a little happier, uplifts you just so much more, and just the music, the songs, the lights, the decorations, for lack of a better word, it's just a magical time of year. Amen? So wonderful. And we sing hymns to highlight the season. One in particular, you probably know this. "God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior." Well, he wasn't born on Christmas Day, but that's all right. "To save us all from Satan's power." And then you get into the chorus and it goes, "Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy." Comfort and joy. Last week we talked about joy. Do you have joy? And so today I want to talk about comfort. We need comfort even at Christmas time. Let's look to Isaiah. We're going to find some comforting words that Isaiah gives for us this time at Christmas. And so Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 1, Isaiah writes this. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1, Isaiah says, "Come, yes, comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." Let us open with a word of prayer. Matt, would you open us in a word, please? Amen. So there is only really one place that you can find words of comfort, and that is from God's Word. And so in Psalm 23, verse 4, the psalmist says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Don't we find comfort in the Word of God? Matter of fact, in Psalm 119, verse 76, the NLT says it this way, "Now let your unfailing love comfort me, just as you promised your servant." You know, God promises that He will comfort us. In Psalm 119, verse 50, the ESV says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life." You know, when life gives us trouble sometimes, we can rest assured in God's promises that we will have life. And so, Jesus even points out in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Isaiah speaks some great words for us to ponder this morning. And so, from the Word of God, let's see what Isaiah has for us at this time at Christmas. And so, look at verse 1 and 2, if you're still there in Isaiah 40. Verse 1 and 2, he says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins." And so God was speaking to his people. He was speaking to Israel, who desperately needed words of comfort. And so their nation, the temple was destroyed, and they were taken into captivity as slaves, or some of them were killed. And so they needed some words of comfort. And so do we, especially at Christmas time. Because this can be a difficult time for a lot of folks who've lost loved ones. A joyous time of the year. And it still can be. Because God wants to give us comfort. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Do you know why we go through trials of life sometimes? So that we can comfort those that are going through the same types of things that we went through. In times of stress, God comforts us. And then he'll comfort others through us sometimes with those same types of comfort. When we come to God's Word that gives us comfort, one of the greatest comforting words we could ever say is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Paul says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And these who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. There is coming a day which we call the rapture," which is a Latin word, to catch away. "We will be caught up together with the Lord and we'll be with forever with him." Amen? Amen? That may be today. I hope it is. What a day to go. Magical time. We're at the Lord's house. We're worshiping him. And then all of a sudden, we're just home in heaven. What a day that will be. But listen to what Paul says in verse 18. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, he says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, that's the message at Christmas time. Go tell it on the mountain. You know that hymn? Go tell it on the mountain. What are you telling people? That Jesus Christ was born. You know the song, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but you probably don't know where that come from. Do you know where that song come from? Nobody knows the original author, but we find out that it was written down in the Black Hymnal Book during the days of the slaves. And do you know what they did? They sang that not only at Christmas time, but all year long. Because they wanted to know the other slaves, "Hey, go tell it on the mountain, because Jesus Christ is born, and you will be freed from the slavery of sin." And they also knew that they would be freed from slavery, period. Matter of fact, in Luke's gospel, in chapter 4, Jesus is in the synagogue and he's teaching. And he grabs the book of Isaiah, and he opens the book of Isaiah to, I think it was chapter 50 or 52, I don't remember, you'd have to look it up. And he reads this passage, and then he sits down, and, or matter of fact, in verse 20 and 21, he closed the book, gave it back to the intendant, he sat down, and everybody in the synagogue, all the eyes were fixed on Jesus. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And do you know what that scripture that he spoke of? He talked about setting the captive free and giving freedom to the oppressed. Is that not awesome? And so I don't know if this is the exact passage of scripture from Isaiah or from Jesus or what they were singing about, but they knew freedom was coming. Freedom from the penalty of sin and freedom from oppression. And one day they'd have freedom. And you know what they did? They went and told it on every mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. That's the good news at Christmas time, that Jesus Christ is born. We should be shouting from the rooftops good tidings of good of glad things, tidings of comfort and joy. Look with me at verse 3. If you're back in Isaiah 40, look at verse 3. Isaiah writes this, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Not only should we be shouting comfort to the world, but we also need to be doing this. This is all familiar. You probably see Isaiah and you go, "Well, man, that sounds like John the Baptist. He was one, the voice crying in the wilderness." Says the exact same thing in the New Testament. But you may not know this because in the original Greek, and it's why it's Hebrew, it's important to do word studies. When you come to this word prepare, how many of you prepare Christmas cookies? How many of you make them by scratch? Ooh, that's good. Oh, a lot of you. That's wonderful. Sorry, I just go to the store and buy the already ready stuff and just... So when you think of the word prepare, don't think of it as preparing Christmas cookies because it has nothing to do with it. Honestly, in the original Hebrew word, it says... The word prepare means to take your focus from one thing and to focus on something totally different. That's prepare. And it kind of has the idea of repentance, right? Isn't that repentance? You're turning from one thing to something else. And that's the idea, I think, that Isaiah has in mind. And so in this case, we're turning from whatever we're focusing on to focus on the Lord. And that's what Isaiah has in mind here. Prepare the way of the Lord, turning from something to face God. But here's the idea. Sometimes when we try to do that, things get in our way. Sometimes when you're trying to focus on the Lord, there are so many things that get in the way that you can't do it. And even things that could be good things. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the writer says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." There's so many things, not only sin, but also every weight. Things sometimes can be good. And look at verse 4. Isaiah says, "Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth." You know, there are things, even at Christmas time, things that get in our way of preparing, turning from this to focus on the Lord. There are things that take our focus away from Him, that you can't see Him. And He says there are things that bring us down low. And God says you got to fill those low parts so that you don't be brought low. There's things that, like mountains and hills, that get in your way. You need to take those mountains down. There's things that come up, that rise up, that take your focus off God. There are crooked places. Ever heard people say you got to stick to the straight and narrow? Well, sometimes you get off of that. I don't know if you've ever been to Pennsylvania, but every one of their highways is crooked. You've got to make your path straight. And then if it's rough, you've got to smooth those places out. And so John the Baptist, when he comes on the scene, he says the same thing. And in order to go from this to the Lord, you needed one thing, and that was repentance. That was his baptism. It was a baptism of repentance. And so I know that sometimes it's hard and painful for people to get rid of the clutter in their lives. Even the good stuff that we fill all our lives up with, clutter and garbage that take our focus off of God. And so Max Lucado gave the illustration like her daughter. She had a splinter in her finger when she was 4 or 5, and he took her to the bathroom to get the tweezers and some ointment. It was probably some Mercurochrome. Anybody remember that? That's probably caused global warming, all the stuff we use for that. But anyway, so he took her to get some tweezers and some ointment and a Band-Aid. And she looked at all that stuff and said, it was just too overwhelming for her. She goes, no, I just want the Band-Aid, Dad. Just give me the Band-Aid. But sometimes we do that with our lives. I don't want to change nothing. I don't want to eliminate this. I can't focus on Jesus because, you know, the mountain's in the way and I can't quite see him. But I don't want to do anything about it. It gets hard for us to do that stuff. And we make excuses. Well, it's Christmas time. We got to go shopping and we got to do this and we got to do. And so we kind of, it gets hard for us to do that. We just want to put a Band-Aid on. We just want to cover stuff up. Let me do what I want to do. It's easier to cover a problem than to actually deal with it. But God wants us literally to get rid of that garbage. Prepare. Not prepare like making cookies, but turn from this to focus on the Lord. And if there's anything in your way, get it out of the way. Look at verse 6 through 8. Isaiah writes this. The voice said, cry out. And he said, well, what shall I cry? And he says, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. You know what he's saying there? Life is short. You know what James said? James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. It's a vapor trail. Some people in funerals talk about the little dash. The beginning and the end, and then there's that little dash. That's your life, the little dash. Comes and it goes. And so we got to remember, since life is short, on this life, we need to be worried about kingdom business. Kingdom business. That should be our focus. Listen, there's nothing wrong with doing things for family and living in the here and now. And I get it. Let me ask you a question. Outside of, I've got Christmas ornaments that me and my family did when we, you know, I was 4 or 5 years old. And we've hung on to those. Those are kind of like, I don't know, special to you. But let me ask you this. Gifts that I've received when I was a kid, 6 years old, 8, 10 years old, 12 years old. How many of you still have all those gifts? How many of you still have the original Atari? Come see me after service. I'd like to have one of those again. Those are fun. You don't have that stuff anymore. Why? Why is it that at Christmas time, all our focus is on presents and everything that we can get for our kids that never last? And Isaiah says, man, the flower withers, it fades away. And here we are, you know, I'm only 47. And I look back and I was like, man, I can remember all the toys and I don't even know what happened to them. Half of them got broke. Half of them I didn't want to begin with. So I threw them in my closet till we got rid of them or give them to Goodwill. Man, the stuff we put our focus on, those are the little squiggly roads. Those are the mountains. Those are the valleys that we need to fill in. Our focus should be on the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. And you got to get rid of some of this stuff. Because it doesn't last. But there's one thing that'll last forever. And that's the best part. And so in verse 8, look here in verse 8 through 10. Isaiah says, but the word of God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings. Good tidings. Isn't that what the angel said in Luke 2? I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Good tidings. And then it says, get up into the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, man. That's what he's talking about. Oh, Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. At this time of the year, matter of fact, Christmas and Easter. That's your biggest two. Christmas and Easter. People are more focused and more bold to speak out about Jesus Christ. We ought to be doing that. This is the time of year where you can have a better impact to a lost and dying world who need to hear that message of comfort. Comfort and joy. Glad tidings of great joy. Go tell it on the mountain. What? Jesus Christ is born. The only man born to die, specifically. And so, the words of comfort from Isaiah, he says there's only one God. And in John 17, 3, Jesus says the same thing. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. You know, God loved his creation so much, mankind, that he sent his son to be born as a baby. Jesus, now, you got to work with me here. Jesus Christ is eternal. He was never born. He's been around for all eternity. But he did indwell flesh. And on that Christmas day, I guess it wasn't really at Christmas, but on that Christmas day is when he indwelt flesh and he was born as a baby. Paul says in Galatians that he had to do that. In the fullness of time, he come to be born just like man so that he could redeem man who was born under the curse. And then he says this in Isaiah, look here at verse 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Do you know God is the one who leads, feeds, protects, guides, and lovingly cares for his children by carrying them through difficult times? Maybe you're worn out with the stress of life, the extra rush of the season, whatever it is. But I'd invite you to let the Lord carry you. Let the Lord carry you. Because when you do, you'll be ready for all the trials of life. You'll be ready when he comes again to get us in the air. Amen? And you'll be ready for all eternity. And so, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for our morning. Thank you for the focus. You have documented your word for us. In Psalm chapter 12, it says that you have preserved your word for us from this generation forever. We have your word that are words of comfort. And so we need to comfort one another with these words. But we also need to go and tell it on the mountain that Jesus was born because of sin. We are sinners, and that separates us from you. And I pray, God, that at this time of the year, we can tell our lost and dying world that message. It doesn't have to end that way. You don't have to die in your sins. You can accept Jesus Christ, who paid the price for you, and believe on him and put your trust in him, and you will be forgiven. Your penalty has already been paid, and you'll have a relationship with God who loves you and have heaven and eternal life. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, let today be the day of salvation. And for your church, for your people, Lord, for your children, may they speak boldly at this time of the year. Presents are going to fade away, but the gift of Jesus will never fade away, and it'll give you eternal life in heaven from now and forever. Let us be more bold to speak to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our classmates in school, college, whatever, Lord. Give us the spirit of boldness. And we know that you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of a sound mind. Let us speak up for your Son. And so, as we do this invitation, Father, I just pray that you'd have your way. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.